really short. And we do have to be thankful. Beautiful music. Wow. I love how you brought us into the presence, His presence, the presence of Christ. And when he promised us, when two or three of us are gathered together, and there's more of us here than that, He promised, and He's never failed, He'd be here. Do you know what? When you're in His presence, you can't leave the same person. You just can't. When you actually recognize and know that you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you allow Him to communicate, or you communicate with each other, you will leave a different person. It has nothing to do with me, other than I'm bringing His words to you, and I am grateful for that. So let me pray. I don't want my words, I want the words of Christ to come through me, that He would use me to help all of us, including me. And so let's pray. Jesus, thank You that You orchestrated and breathed into humans to write to us. And thousands of years later, we're still translating and bringing that to bring life. You said You just didn't come to give us life, but life in abundance. And so as we sit at Your feet, as we listen to what You have to say to each one of us, I pray, Lord, that we would walk out of this place a different person. I call upon You. I can't do it. I don't have the words. I don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, except through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I call upon You, Lord, that You would go through my body, my voice, and penetrate into our hearts so that we would be thankful that we can sit at the feet of a King, the one and only King, You. And we pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, a few things has changed since the last time I was here. Don't have to worry about masks. That's a thank you, Jesus, on Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful I don't have to carry a mask in my pocket. And so that's a great thing. The last time I was here, our son was with us. And he decided, instead of going to Olivet, that he would go into the Marine Corps. He was raised by an old Marine. My brother was in the Marine Corps and one in the Navy. And so he heard all of our crazy war stories. And so instead of going and playing baseball at Olivet, he decided to go in the Marine Corps. So he's out in Camp Pendleton. And I'll share a little bit about that, because I turned the ripe age, young age of 70. 70 is over the hill, and I don't feel like I'm over the hill yet. I'm enjoying life in the fullest, and I am so thankful to be able to live. I had two heart attacks when I was 38 and 41, five bypasses, and I lived through that. And as I think back, I got saved because of my first heart attack, and they put me at Nazarene Acres. Anybody ever been to Nazarene Acres? Yeah, it's your pastor, Ben, was in my, they put me right in. I was right out. As a matter of fact, my first wife and I had a tavern in Casey, Illinois for 17 years, and then I got saved from a heart attack. And anyhow, I'm not going into that story. But our pastor, Romine, said, you need to go to camp. And so what'd they do? This old guy coming out of Vietnam, I coached football, and just one of them things. And they put me in with a group of guys, and Ben, your pastor Ben, was a part of that. And then I became the NY president, and I got to go to Olivet when Ben was up in Olivet. And we would have pizza parties and all kinds of fun. I loved being a youth pastor. And even clear back then, I was considered old. Now you know how old I really am. But what a privilege it is to be able to come and share with you. And one of the things that has changed my life and my wife's life is sitting at the foot of Jesus, sitting and communicating with Him in a real way. And I learned that in my right before my bypass surgery. You always wondered. I thought Jesus was right in the crowd. You're in the clouds. You're good, Randy. You're really good. And He never did. And so before my surgery, a lot of people don't make it through heart surgery or didn't. It's better now, but way back then, it was kind of a scary situation. And I just was sitting in my bed, kind of laying there, and I just said to Jesus, I would really like to know for sure that if I don't wake up from this operation, that I will be with You. And at that instant, he touched my feet. Now, I don't know why he touched my foot, but he did. And my body radiated heat to where all my monitors, if you ever had a heart attack and all that stuff, you're hooked up to umpteen machines. My body received the touch that Christ gave me that my monitors didn't flatline. They went black. We have record. All my monitors, they come running in, screaming my name, thinking I was dying, and I'd just been touched by the hand of God. Amazing. He is that real, and he wants us to communicate. The greatest thing that we can do is to sit at his feet and communicate. That's why he created us, is to have communion with God and to communicate. And there's nothing greater. There is no way that you can thank Jesus and our Father in heaven. There's no greater way than to sit at his feet and communicate and let him know you know how awesome he is. When I turned 70, my daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer about a month ago. I'm headed to Chicago to the cancer thing with her tomorrow morning. So keep her in your prayers. She's lost all of this beautiful hair. She was a teen when Pastor Ben was at the Nazarene Acres also. And so anyway, remember her as she goes through that. My wife took her hat off. She decided yesterday that she didn't want me to say anything. You're not supposed to look at her, but she she texted my daughter, Scarlett. Scarlett O'Hara is her name. Can you figure that out? Anyhow, she texted her this morning and said, I can't take the chemo for you, but I can go through it with you. So keep that in your prayer, if you would. But anyway, when I turned 70, my grandson, Scarlett's son, is a senior in high school, playing football, went into the playoffs. They finally lost, but what a joy. My son's gone to be able to go and watch him. And so we come down to Arcola. We're playing Arcola. Anybody here from Arcola School? Okay. That's quite a ways away. Just wanted to make sure. We beat him. We beat him. Anyway. Anyway, my wife and I came down from Lewistown, which is quite a ways, down to Arcola, about 2.5 hours. And we walked around the field, and just as we're getting ready to come up the bleachers, my granddaughter, which is, she's a sophomore now in college, but she and my grandson's girlfriend came running down, and anyway, they just greeted us, gave us a hug, and we didn't know what was going on. And lo and behold, coming out from behind the bleachers, someone that we hadn't seen in about 6 or 7 months, Kenneth. You've seen those videos of being shocked and you start weeping? That was us. Kenneth come walking around the bleachers, and he just walked up and said, Happy birthday, Dad. No greater joy and to sit with Kenneth. And that gave me just a little glimpse of, I think, how Jesus really feels when you take time out of your life and make that a special time for him. You can't say thank you any better than to see Kenneth come around, planned it out, was home for 10 days, we got to golf, we got to fish, we got to golf some more, and then we fished some more. Amazing time. Jesus desires that so much. And so I'm going to preach. I'm going to not even preach. It's going to be a lesson of a way. How many remembers, and I know because we came to Springfield, Hal Perkins. Anybody know Hal Perkins? Wow. He was my disciple for years. Debbie Perkins is Lori's disciple, but anyhow, he wrote a book, Discipled by Jesus. Amazing, amazing book. It changed my life because I always desired to, Pastor Ben, forgive me. I desired to be obedient to Jesus more than any human being. And that was probably some of my old upbringing and the old pilgrim holiness Wesleyan Church and all that stuff, and then my mind getting scrambled up. But anyway, I thought, you know what, if you want me to wear long sleeves and all these things, you tell me. And so I started sitting at the feet of Jesus, and this is what I have learned, that I feel that Hal wrote in his book, that I feel if you would take time out of your life, of course, I do it in the morning. If I don't do it in the morning, it don't happen. So I get up early, and I make sure that I sit with Jesus. And because he touched me on my foot, I know he's that real. And so I picture him sitting right there with me, and I communicate. I talk to him. I tell him about the day that we went fishing. I'm so thankful that the boat didn't sink because I didn't put the plug in the boat, and we got in the water, and all of a sudden the boat started. Anyhow, thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to get back to the shore enough to pull the boat back out. And so I communicate to Jesus just like he was my fishing buddy. And he is. He desires to be. He wants to be that real to you. And as I go through this, and as I learned over the years, there's five questions that he would like you to respond to, because Jesus was great at asking questions. As a matter of fact, when he was asked a question, he would ask a question in return with his answer. And so he was great at asking questions to get you to follow and to do and to obey the way that he desired, instead of just, you know, like a lot of times with our kids, when they're disruptive or they don't do what we want, we just say, go take out the trash. You know, Jesus would ask a question so that they would realize, I probably should go take the trash. It takes time and it takes effort to learn how to ask those questions. So I'm preaching a 5-message sermon in the next 15 minutes, so pray for me, okay? I'm going to go through these 5 questions, and usually it's 1 message per question, but if you can just catch the grasp that every word in the Bible, this is my Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's an app that you can get and put it on your phone. Everybody should have that app, and so if you've got those apps, you can get those out, but there's 5 questions that comes from that, and we're going to kind of filter through it. And Jesus is going to look in your eyes each and every morning. And when you get really good at it, there's some mornings it comes in, and I'll just sit down with Jesus, and I say, good morning, Jesus, and he's wanting to give me a high five. Do you know Jesus gives high fives? He really does give high fives, and sometimes it's knuckles. And sometimes when he's doing that, it's when you're going through the worst thing in your life. And he said, I thought you wanted to join me in my suffering. As a good soldier. Oh, yeah. I did want to do that. But you know how hard? He just wants to give you that. Jesus wants to be that personable with you. And so as you sit down, if you can actually visualize Jesus in his eyes, some days he's wanting to slap me upside the head with a 2x4. Do you know Jesus was kind of like that? He's not always the Mr. Rogers wanting to pat you on the back. Sometimes he takes a 2x4 upside your head to get your attention. Well, you probably all aren't as hard-headed as I am, but sometimes it takes that for me. And so if we can take the God's word is God breathed. Every word in the Bible is breathed from Christ, from our Father, through Paul, through John, Matthew, whoever wrote, and they wrote the words that he wanted us to know. Now then, Paul's dead. The people Paul was writing to are dead. But Jesus is not. Now don't get me wrong. You need to know why Paul was there, where he came from, all the things that he went through to get to where he's at, that God had him write 2/3 of the New Testament. You need to know that and why. Otherwise, you're going to take it out of context. And you need to know the people that he's writing it to. What church is he writing it to? Thessalonica or whatever. You need to know those things. So don't get me wrong when I say Paul's dead and they're dead. You need to know that. So you need to know your scriptures. But you've got to believe that the Bible is for you. When you sit down with Jesus in the morning, he's most generally, unless you're studying to give a lesson or to preach, he's more than likely, probably all the time, going to be talking to you. Now, there's sometimes I'm thinking, need to hear this. My wife could really know. No, Jesus says, hey, Randy, this is for you. This is for you. And as we go through these questions, there's five questions. And I wish you could write these down. I was going to bring out a thing, and I didn't. And so sometime if Ben has me come back, I may bring, and we'll do it. Anyway, there's five questions that Jesus would like to ask you every day. The first being, come from the scripture verse, Jesus, who do you say that I am? Remember when they were saying that Jesus asked his apostles, his disciples, who do you say I am? Oh, you're Moses, you're this, you're that. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, who do you say that I am? Jesus wants to sit and look into your eyes and he's going to ask you, who do you say that I am? There is nothing more grateful. There is no way that you can tell Jesus thank you more than telling him who he has been to you over the last 24 hours, week. Jesus, you've been my companion. You've been my fishing companion. You've been my servant. You're my Savior. You're my King. You're my Lord. You're my bumper in my bowling alley. Do what? Do you know he keeps your mind out of the gutter when you sit with him? There's different things that Jesus says, and he is thrilled to death when you tell him who he has been to you over the last. You protected me as I drove 400 and some miles the other day. You kept my mind alert and my eyes open, and you was my writing companion, and we conversed as we listened to books. And so Jesus really wants to know, who do you say that I am? Oh, when Kenneth just come up and he said, happy birthday, Dad. I was his dad. I knew. He had planned for months, him and my daughter, to fly in and surprise me. I knew. And I was beaming. I was weeping. I was crying. And the best picture that I feel, now everybody else don't feel it, it was with Kenneth and I sitting during a football game, looking eye to eye, talking. Him and I. He knew, and I knew. Happy birthday, Dad. Jesus desires that. Oh, he'd do flips and somersaults and all kinds of things if you would just sit each morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. This is the season of Thanksgiving. This first part is just saying, thank you, Jesus. Tell him. Look into his eyes. Actually, you can start visualizing his eyes the more you do it. And his eyes will brighten, lighten, the more you tell him. Then you go down, he's going to ask you another question. It's found in John 13:12. Do you understand what I've done for you? It's when he had finished washing their feet. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? And, you know, Peter says, oh, don't wash my feet. If you're going to wash, then wash my whole body. He didn't get it. But at the end of all that, when Jesus took his robe off of him and he got done, he stood up and he said, he asked him, do you really understand what I've done for you? That's a huge question. So I'm sitting there and Jesus, I've just told Jesus who he's been. And now Jesus looks at me, hey, Randy, do you understand what I've done for you? And so when I meet with him every day, I communicate in a conversation. I did this in Rushville here a while back. I just sit down and I did my meeting with Jesus. And all it was a conversation with Jesus and I. He wants to do that. And so now he's saying, you understand what I've done for you over the last 24 hours? And so I researched back. We went fishing. We drove. We got up. We had breakfast. We had all these things, and so he's asking, there's really four parts to that question. Do you understand what I have done for you? I have heat. You all have heat? Maybe not everybody. I even have air conditioning. I have a vehicle. You understand what I have done for all good things? My Harley. I have a Harley. All good things comes from who? If I ever ask questions, just say Jesus, and you'll be right. They come from Christ. They come so that he can bless us. And so I'm sitting there, and he says, do you understand? Yes, I understand that my motorcycle didn't come from anybody other than you. You gave me the ability, the strength, the knowledge to be able to work to where I can get the things after I give to him He blesses us. He wants to know that. You recognize. Do you understand what I've done for you? Do you understand what I've done in you? Now I say, Jesus wants to disciple you. There's no greater disciple than Jesus. None. Do you understand what I've done in you? That's from yesterday when I opened God's Word and He revealed to me what I needed to know. He's going to ask me the next morning, looking me in the eyes, did you listen? Did you not just listen, did you obey? A huge question. Jesus wants to know positively, you're not just a hearer, you're a doer. He wants to know that. You understand what I've done for you? You understand what I've done in you? Do you understand what I have done through you? Have you allowed me to, and you can't do this unless you spend time with Jesus every day. When you go to work, if you don't spend time with Jesus, you're probably going to respond a little more on your personality than probably on Christ. But if you sit with Jesus, I picture this. If I sit with Jesus and He fills me, which He wants to, so you can live in abundance, when you start walking, if you're full, He starts splashing out of you. You don't even have to open your mouth. Just how you respond to the person that when you don't get your drink on time, how do you respond to them? How do you respond when the gas pump don't work and you go in and you want to tell them about the gas pump and it's freezing outside? How do you respond? You don't even have to open your mouth. And if you're with Jesus enough, He will splash out of you and you will be full of love, kindness, peace. Amazing what comes out of you when you spend your time. Jesus wants to know, with what I told you, are you changing and working and allowing me to be your disciple, your molder, to mold you into the shape of me, so that my mind thinks as Jesus. When my heart is beating, it's beating like Jesus's. When Jesus cries, I cry. He wants to know, are you allowing me to change you? That's another part of the second question. And the third part is, do you see me working in other people? You know, He works in other people. If they don't even know Him personally, all good things comes from Jesus. And so even if you don't, if they, the people you're around don't know Jesus, He uses and works through them even, and they don't even know it. That second question is huge. Do you understand what I've done for you, in you, through you, and do you see me working in other people? Those two questions, do you understand who I am? Who do you say I am? And do you understand what I've done for you is a huge, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what I have. Thank you, we sang about it, for changing my life and helping me to be what you created me to be in my mother's womb. If you want to say thank you to Jesus, just answer those two questions each and every morning, and He will be a blessed Father in heaven. Promise you. I'm getting, what time is it? I didn't ask Ben how long he talked. Is it 11:30? 11:24. I got it right here. Doesn't even need to look. I'm going to hurry. This third one I'm not going to go into because it really takes, but it's actually taking the Word of God. Question number three is, do you listen to me? It was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, the disciples were down and Jesus goes up and He was transformed into this and He's sitting there talking to Moses, all this stuff, and Peter's down here. Peter and I have a lot. My mouth overloads myself sometimes. And Peter did the same thing. Look at them. They're having a party up there. Let's build something down here. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's have a potluck. You know, let's have this whole thing and invite everybody down. And in the cloud, the Father. When Dad speaks, y'all listen. The Father in the cloud said, hey, you know who this is? This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus. And God was talking to the disciples. Forget all this stuff. You know what I want you to do? Now, this was from Dad. The Father in heaven, in the clouds, spoke to the disciples because this is who he is, and I'm very well pleased that he's my Son. I want you to do one thing. Listen to him. Three words. That listen is an active word. It doesn't mean that you hear. It means you respond to what you hear. And so listening to Jesus is taking the word of God in context. So whatever Paul wanted the New Testament church to know, now Jesus wants you to know for yourself. He wants you to know that. And so you have to open God's word, find out the context so you know who Paul is and you know who he's writing to and you know exactly the message that Jesus wanted to get across to the New Testament church through Paul. Now he wants you to know that. And this is a message to you personally. And when you can get to the point that you sit down with Jesus and you look at him in the eye, and you really know who Jesus is, and he tells you something, oh, Pastor Ben ain't got a chance against Jesus. Pastor Randy doesn't either. If you really realize that God's word is Jesus' words to you, he wants you to know this, it will change your life. Bless you. It will change your life. That's the third question. Listen to him. Remember, the word listen is an active word. It means, now I'm not an English major. Matter of fact, I can't even speak correct English. You've already realized that. But it's an action word to where when God told the apostles to listen to my Son, it wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. Listen to him. That means I have to obey God's word. And so now I open up the scriptures. I realize in one of the scriptures that changed my life physically to become healthy was when Jesus told me to, I felt Jesus saying, he asked me a question one morning in Hebrews. He says, would you join me? And I said, oh yeah, I want to join Jesus in my suffering. Oh, I don't know that I want to join you in your suffering. He's asking me, will you join me, Randy? I make it. I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I'll do. As a good soldier of mine. Now when they wrote this and Paul wrote it, it was as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But when you turn that and make it personal, Jesus is actually asking Randy, as a good soldier of mine. That took me back to 50 years prior in the Marine Corps and going to Vietnam. You don't question when you're superiors give you an order. You respond. You also got to be like a Minuteman. Remember when you studied about the Minutemen way back? You had to be ready at any instant to do whatever he would ask you. You know, we handicapped God. I shouldn't get into the physical point of it, but I was really, really overweight. I couldn't do some things that he might want me to do. And so that changed my life because Jesus told me, hey, you said you wanted to join me in my suffering as a good soldier. Be ready if I call you to go to Nepal, if I call you to go to Africa, if I call you to take DCFS kids over to visits in a prison. I want you to be prepared and ready to go no matter what. And I listened to him, and I became what I feel I can be. I can still get a little healthier, but I go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week unless I'm playing golf. But I tell you, if you take that personally, that third question, God is telling you, listen to the word, obeying it. Fourth question. This is the accountability question. Jesus wants to know this thing. He's asking you, do you really love me? Have you ever had, remember reading about Jesus, remember when Peter messed up and denied Christ? Do you know Jesus likes to have fish fries? Man, just read the scripture. After Peter and all of them denied and he was hung on the cross and he comes back and he's walking along the seashore and he sees them out there fishing. They were old fishermen from way back. Walked with him for 3 years and then he died on the cross and they didn't know what to do so they went back to fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. Fishing is a good thing. I love to fish. I love to hunt. I like sitting in the woods. It's awesome. But here comes Jesus bopping down the beach. You didn't know he bopped down, but he did. Peter seen him out there, and they went, who is that? Who is that? You know, and then when they figured out it was Jesus, I don't know why Peter put on his clothes to jump in the lake and swim, but he did. He put on his clothes, and he swam. Now, I can imagine, don't say this, but I bet, I just imagine that as soon as he hit that beach and that sand, and he ran to Jesus. He knew that he had denied him, and I think that he just threw his arms around Jesus. And they had a little conversation. It was after the fish fry. They brought the fish in. They counted the fish. They fried fish. They ate fish. And then Peter just looked, or Jesus looked at Peter and said, hey, Peter. Now, this is after he denied him, hoping that he's forgiven, something that Judas didn't do. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Jesus, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. And then he asked him a question. Peter, do you really love me? Well, yes, Jesus, I just told you. Now, this is my translation. I just told you that a little bit ago. Don't you understand? If you really love me, I want you to feed my lambs. He didn't stop there. Then he looked at Peter. I imagine he grabbed him by the shoulders and he looked him right in the eye. Peter, do you really, really love me? And Peter's getting upset now. I just told you two times. Now you're asking me again, don't you believe who? Don't you believe? But Jesus was wanting to know, if you really, really, I mean really love me, and he's looking to you every morning, do you really love me? The first person you need to feed each day is yourself. The sheep, you're the first sheep. You need to be fed or you can't feed anybody else. And so the first question that we kind of brought that into is, if you really love me, Randy, I want you to sit with me daily and learn my ways. Learn my commands and be obedient to those commands. Secondly, if you really, really love me, you'll let your family know. That's your first disciples. If you really, really love me, you will let them know what I just taught you about being a good soldier. And you will share with your family so that they grow. There's nothing better than to be traveling down the road and there's two or three of you that has done your meeting with Jesus. And all you have to do is say, what's Jesus saying to you today? What beautiful conversation. But I just taught you with your family. You need a disciple. They need to be in heaven with you. And then he gets kind of, do you really, really, really love me, Randy? If you do, you'll have some disciples that you're discipling. You need to be discipled, and you need to be discipling someone. And he's going to hold you accountable daily. Are you going to tell your disciples, your companions on this journey, in your Sunday school class or wherever, you need to let them know what I'm teaching you so they can learn. That's kind of Jesus splashing out of you. And then Hal Perkins in his book added the fourth. It's not in the Bible, but he added the fourth, which is very, very crucial for your church to grow. If you really, 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 really love me, you'll start making relationships with people you can't stand, that their pants are hanging down around their knees, they've got umpteen colors of hair, all the things that just bothers you, make friends with them. It may take you a year, it may take you 2 years. You invite them over, you go out to the movies, you go and eat, you become a friend with some people that don't know me so that you can share with them eventually, what I've been teaching you. huge accountability question. That's question number four. Do you really love Jesus? You will start doing something with it. You'll be obedient. You'll listen to him. Feed yourself daily. Let your family know. Let your Sunday school class, let your church people, as you go out to shop. Did you notice he was talking about all the women going out and shopping? It's not about shopping. It's about being together. Yeah, right, Randy. This is Christmas time. It's shopping. It really is. The things that you do with your church family, the body of Christ, share with each other what God has been teaching you. It's amazing. The fifth question, and I'm done. This is more of a lesson than a sermon. The fifth question is, let's see. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. Remember when, Lazarus died. His sisters were upset with Jesus because he didn't come soon enough. And he asked Mary, do you understand that I'm the resurrection and the life? Yeah, I know that you're the resurrection and life. But that's when we die and do this. No, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The last question, after you've answered these or answered the questions that Jesus told him who he is, what he's done for you, in you, through you, and other people, you've recognized him in every second of your life, he'll jump with joy. You've listened to him. You've been obedient. You're telling others about those things. And then Jesus really wants to know, you believe all this? Do you really believe? Really? Because if you really believe that I breathed every word for you, it's a love letter from me to you. If you really believe that and you're going to sit at the feet and listen to me daily, if you really believe that, you'll be changed daily. He will start molding you into the form that he created you to be. But if you don't really believe all this, you know, ask some of it, you know, if it gets into this area, you know, that's probably for Paul was talking to them. No, these words were meant for you and for I personally. Personalize it. And Jesus wants to know, because if you really, really believe it, I mean, really, and you're going to sit at the feet of Jesus, really, you'll start praying different. You'll start, first of all, not just praying like Santa Claus, asking him for something. You'll start saying thank you ahead of time for healing cancer, for touching people's lives. Thank you, Jesus, for something that's going to happen in the future, things that he promised. Now, you can't just go say, I'd like to have a new heart, or things like it. It's things, because when you become close to your mind's thinking like him, your heart's beating like him, then you know that when you pray according to his will, he will hear you. May not be the way you want, but he'll hear you. And so you can start praying. If you really believe all that I've said today, then he will change your life. And you'll say thank you instead of asking. Thank you, Jesus, for supplying the money to pay my electric bill. Thank you, Jesus, for being with my daughter through this cancer. Thank you, Jesus, for being with Kenneth, if he's deployed, if he's in wherever he's at. And I start thanking Jesus. This is about Thanksgiving. And we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And if we really believe, we'll start thanking him that I had a heart attack and five bypasses when I was 41 years old. Now, at the time, him and I had quite the conversation. He always knows best. He does, promise you. So on this Thanksgiving, it would be so awesome if Jesus knew and you would share with your family who he has been to you over the last year. Just tell your family. What's he done in you? How he's changed you? What's he done for you? Through you? How you've seen him in other people's lives? There would be nothing greater than Jesus to hear at the Thanksgiving table responses to how he has been involved in your life in every second. I'm done and I preached too long. I wished I could have taken this piece by piece and elaborated. But I hope you've caught the gist of that Jesus is real. And if you really want to say thank you to him, sit at his feet and communicate. Not just pray, but communicate. Promise? Let me pray for you. You have a beautiful church here. I don't know who got all these young people to sit up here, but you're an encouragement to me. I was an old youth pastor. I love teenagers. I really do. I still love teenagers. I got the opportunity to build a youth center in Lewistown, Illinois. If you ever go through Lewistown, stop in the Nazarene Church and check out that youth center. Remember, I had a tavern for 17 years in my prior before Jesus life. I built a sports bar for teenagers. Something that you can do. Jesus is involved in all that. It's pretty awesome. Thanks for sitting up here. You're an encouragement. Jesus, thank you. What a blessing it is to know that you love me. What a blessing it is to have the honor to be able to come and share what I felt we all need, is to spend more time with you and to be thankful. When we realize who you are and believe wholeheartedly in you, we can't look in your eyes without saying thank you right off of the bat for all that you've done in and through our lives. Lord, we just say thanks. I pray for the Springfield Nazarene Church. I pray for Pastor Ben and his family as they're traveling back home or whatever, whenever they're doing that and all the things. But I pray, Father, for wisdom for him, for the church board, and for the praise team as they come and they honor you by giving talents to you through their own unique ways. And I pray that this community, this town, would be saturated with you by them spending time with you. When they walk through the mall, you'll splash out of them without opening their mouth. And Jesus, I pray that as they infiltrate through their community and their workplaces, whether it's at the gas station or at Casey's or at the grocery store, wherever, as they saturate and penetrate their community, may your love splash through them, because that's a magnet. It's not them, it's you in them. So I pray for Pastor Ben. I pray for this church. I pray that they will reach many lost souls, to bring them into your kingdom so that your kingdom would be enhanced. And next year at this time, we'll sit at the Thanksgiving table and say thank you for the lost people that was won because of obedience. And Jesus, we pray it in your wonderful name. Amen.